I was looking over this hymn sheet. Trying to select a hymn that we should sing tonight. I realized, you know, we could spend the hour and we could sing this whole sheet. And we would have the gospel presented in such a clear way. I don't think that's what the brethren had in mind, so we're not going to do that, but I would like to open by singing hymn number 25. Hymn number 25, it's a solemn hymn. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Just before my wife and I came here, halfway through the week, the brother called me and asked if I would hold forth the word of life on Saturday night. And I went for a walk in the driveway that night. The moon was shining. It was dark. And I knew that because of the circumstances that we've been found in the last while, that there probably wasn't going to be a canvassing in the neighborhood and a whole group of people in here that were invited to the gospel. I kind of took that for granted, and I think as I look around the room that is likely the case. And as I pondered that, I kind of looked up and thought, Father, what would you have me to say? And I considered, you know, when I was younger, and I came in just as we came in first here, the first thing that I saw was a group of young people on the outside of the door, just chatting and having a good time. And I recall back to when I was a young person, the assembly that I was brought up in Montreal. It's a large assembly. It was give or take somewhere around 50 young people on any given birthday that we would have. There'd be that many signatures on a birthday card. And yet as I reflect on that company now, I think there are five that are gathered. And there's probably 15 that there's no evidence whatsoever that they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. No evidence whatsoever. So here tonight, we're not going to preach the gospel as if there's a company here that has never heard it before. Because as I view particularly you young people, most of you would know the gospel every bit as well as I do. And yet I can't help but think that there is somebody here tonight, and you know not my Savior, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. What a solemn thing to be brought up in a Christian home, to be brought up with the influence of the assembly, and to be without Christ. Oh, we trust tonight as we open this precious book, the Word of God, and we speak from these blessed pages, that your heart would be touched tonight, and that you, whatever age you are, just speaking to a brother, you say you couldn't figure out how come he didn't come to the Lord when he was really young. He came when he was 11. Oh, we trust that you would come to know the Lord Jesus tonight as your Savior. So let's open by singing hymn number 25. If somebody could please start that for us. Number 25.
Life at best is very brief. Thank you.
As I was walking down the driveway and considering what was before me, I walked over to where we have a burn pile, where we burn brush, and I noticed a glint in what was no longer a brush pile, but a pile of ashes. And kicking away at the ashes, there was a hinge from a door that I had thrown on, a wooden door. I had thrown that on the brush pile when it all burned up. And that was the only thing that was left, was this metal hinge. And I'm just wondering tonight if this was the last day of your life. Would there be any gold? Would there be any metal? Anything shining? Or would it all be ashes? You know, it's such a solemn thing to have just sung that hymn. Life at best is very brief. You know, while we sang it, 800 people were ushered into eternity. 800 people. Say, oh, well, that's a statistic. Yeah, maybe, but if the Lord should leave us here, every one of us will become a statistic. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, we're going to read a few preliminary scriptures before I look at the subject that's before me. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, in the first phrase of that first verse, "Behold my servant." Behold my servant. Now, the Lord Jesus, he walked this pathway down here as one that served. Have you seen that blessed one, our Lord Jesus, as the one who is the perfect servant. You know, we could put that, those three words, "Behold my servant," over the Gospel of Mark. As we go through that Gospel and see the Lord's pathway as the perfect servant. Turn with me now, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew 7 and verse 13. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You know, there's not a one of us here that was born into this scene under the narrow way. Not a one of us. Every one of us was born on the broad road that leads to destruction. Every single one of us. Yes, it's a blessed thing to be brought up in a Christian home. It's a wonderful thing to be brought up with the influences and the protection of the assembly, but we've been born the broad road, and it leads, as we read here, it leads to destruction. Now turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Jeremiah, chapter 17. And we read this in verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I trust to be able to elaborate a little on that tonight. The deceitfulness of my heart and the deceitfulness of your heart. Now turn with me over to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. I would like to read this portion, which is a very well-known portion, without comment, and perhaps refer to it later. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse 10. "Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, the other, a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Now turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Just a phrase at the end of verse 9 concerning the Thessalonians and how it says that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You know, we just read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, if we were to turn back two chapters, we would read there, it says, "No man can serve two masters." No man can serve two masters. As I look around this audience here tonight, every one of us is serving a master. Who are you serving tonight? Maybe it's not evident who you're serving, but who are you serving tonight? These Thessalonian saints, they turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. I would like to look this evening. I've been impressed with the many that we find in the scripture that the Lord refers to him as his servant. And there are many. But there's a much fewer number where the Lord says about them that they are my servant. And I would like to look at some of them tonight. Those who the Lord says they are my servant. And just at the outset, you know, there's a day coming. Every one of us here in this room is going to stand before the Lord Jesus. And I know it's not going to exactly happen this way, but for illustration, when your number is called and you stand before the Lord Jesus, is he going to look at you and say, "Ah, my servant"? Or is he going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you. Depart from me, for I never knew you"? What a solemn thing. Those beautiful words that we read in 1 Thessalonians 1 about those saints, how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I had occasion at the airport we've all been in airports, and it's fascinating to look at the cross section of people. I was sitting at the gate, and there was scads of people there. There was men there in suits. There was young people that were dressed rather shabbily. There was mothers with babies. There was a girl. She had green hair. She had shorts that were probably this high, probably 10 inches, not dressed modestly. There was men with turbans. There was men with skull caps. A whole cross-section of people. And I hadn't checked in. I'd already had my boarding pass, so you don't have to check in. So I went up to the gate. And I said to the lady there, I said, "So how are you this fine sunshiny day?" It's steaming rain out. She looked at me and she says, "Do you live in a cave?" I'm not trying to be funny. This is the way it happened. So I went back to my seat after I showed her my passport, and that it tweaked my interest because I had just finished reading about one of the caves of Scripture. And when she said that, it made me think, I wonder how many caves there are in Scripture. And it just enthralled me to sit there in my seat and to go through all these various scriptures with these various caves. There's a vast number of them. And as I'm going through this and I'm enjoying it so much, I look up and the place is empty. And I realize I'd been enjoying it so much, I'm oblivious to what was being announced. And sure enough, it's the very last call. And I got up and I went to the gate. And the lady saw me and she says, "Oh, yes, it's the man that lives in the cave." And anyway, I got onto the plane, and it's packed with people. And I went my way down to the back of the plane. There's only one seat left, and it's right beside green hair and the girl with shorts. And I sat down, and I thought, this is my portion. I didn't know where to look. I didn't know what to say. It was an uncomfortable situation for me. Anyways, I sat there, and I asked, I thought, well, I better enter into a conversation. And I asked the girl where she was going. And, well, she was on her way to Las Vegas, never been there before. I thought, wow, what a sad thing. She's 19 years old. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to ask her what she does. I asked her, well, what do you do for a living? Well, actually, I serve. I serve in a drinking establishment. And I enjoy it because I get the best tips at about 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And that's where I work. And I thought, wow, what a hard life for someone to start at. And then she flipped it to me and she said, so what do you do for a living? I said, well, Actually, I serve too. Oh, that tweaked her interest. She said, so where do you serve? I said, well, actually, I serve someone who is the most marvelous employer that anybody could find in this world. And that tweaked her interest. She said, and who is that? I said, his name is Jesus Christ. And you know, she got this far off, long look in her eye. And she looked at me and she said, oh, I bet he is. As we entered into conversation, I realized here's someone that was brought up in Christian influences. And here her life was a wreck. You know, as we approach this subject as to who every one of us here serves, who do you serve tonight? You know, Joshua could say, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who are you serving tonight? This poor girl was brought up in circumstances, then she realized what I was saying, that I was serving someone that was much different than her. Oh, I plead with you, young person, as you sit there in your chair, and nobody knows